Welcome back to Foreman and Wolf on Food and Wine. I'm Tony Foreman.
And Chef Cindy Wolf.
And before we signed off, I said I wanted help with definitions because over the years I've spent a lot of time instructing people in restaurants to please just ask people what they do eat and what they do not eat. Because the reality, people take it, I mean, what you eat, what you choose to eat, what you choose not to eat.
Sure.
You take it personally, and that's kind of a big deal. And, you know, people have health concerns and all kinds of things going on. We actually have a caller, which is fantastic. Susan in Reisterstown. Susan in Reisterstown, you're on.
Hi, Susan.
I'm thinking Susan in Reisterstown is going to be on soon.
Hello, Susan.
She was calling us with definitions.
All right.
So
we'll move forward.
Maybe we can get that call back. That would be terrific. I was curious about, you know, what the sort of classifications are, their official definitions, that kind of thing. Because, like I said, for me, it was always, I knew a person who said they were vegetarian, but then they would eat fish once in a while. And then once in a great while, they really wanted a corned beef sandwich.
And we've had vegetarians that eat my collard greens that are cooked in smoked ham hocks. So, you know, it's a personal decision. You know, it's a personal thing.
Which,
that's why.
Which is reasonable and something
to
respect.
I mean, that's something. Absolutely. I just want people to be happy. That's all I care about. So all you have to do is tell me what you want, and I will cook accordingly to your needs. That's my job as a chef, and I'm happy to do it. So that's, I think, you know, for us in the restaurants, as you just said, it's an individual thing. We just, ask the guests to tell us what they do like, and then we'll cook for them happily.
I think we can take another shot at Susan in Reisterstown.
Okay. Hi, Susan.
Hi. This is
Good afternoon.
Hi there, Tony. This is Susan Weiss-Bolin. I'm the former owner of Breathe Books and Breathe Bookstore Cafe, vegetarian vegan cafe that was in Hamden. I was there for about 10 years. Hi.
So straighten us out on official definitions.
All right. Yeah, so of course, and now I run a vegetarian cooking school called Susan's Kitchen in Reisterstown, and we do cater to pretty much everyone you said, except for really the pescatarian. So a vegetarian is a person that lives a plant life, a plant-based life, has a plant-based diet, but also includes things like eggs and cheese and dairy. That is a vegetarian, but they do not eat, pretty much to simplify it, we don't eat anything with a face. So nothing with a face. Now, if you are a vegan, you do not include any animal products in your diet, and that includes eggs, dairy, honey or ghee, clarified butter. You don't use any of those products in your diet, and some people even go as far as not to wear leather, or you can even go as far as not to even own pets. There are vegans that don't believe in having animals, having them in any form or style that we control them in.
Wow.
Now,
I was trying to keep the question on food, but it's cool to have the full sort of idea. I'm curious. You say nothing with a face. Does that mean that mollusks are on the menu for vegetarians?
Oh, absolutely not. Vegetarians do not eat mollusks. Do not eat anything that is a sentient being. Nothing that breathes. Nothing that breathes. We don't eat anything like that. Nothing that bleeds. Actually, you could probably say. Vegetarians do not eat any animal.
So no breathing, no breathing, no breathing, no bleeding.
Yeah, I just made that up. That's pretty good.
Yeah, so T-shirts for your school. Thanks very much for the call, Susan.
Okay. Are you interested in pescatarian?
That I think I've got down.
You got that. Okay.
Thanks, Susan.
Awesome.
Thank
good
you
to
very
talk
much.
With you.
Thank
care.
You. We have another caller, Tony in Bel Air, I think, with a startup question. Tony, you're on the air.
Hi. I appreciate you taking my call. How do you sort of start, how would a non-cook start moving away from meat, cooking with vegetables, and still getting the protein?
If you're going to, you know, be a vegetarian, you certainly can get some protein through some of your vegetables and also things like milk and cheese products. So you can help to balance out your diet. I will tell you that broad beans or fava beans are something that really are very helpful. Soybeans are very helpful to your diet if you're going to go to being a vegetarian.
Lentils and chickpeas get
right.
relied upon a lot for simple proteins, but dairy is often an important source. Eggs are often an important source.
What sort of simple vegetables would you pair with that, you know, to make meals?
You can do green beans with eggs. You can do mushrooms with eggs, and add cheese to the dish, or have rice dishes. Make saffron basmati rice or a simple basmati rice, and add all kinds. You could add tomatoes. You could add onions and shallots and peas and all sort of carrots and also really any vegetable that you like. That's one of the great things about basic starches. Or you can make your own you can make pasta dishes and add wonderful vegetables and have olive oil or and cook that way.
There's a Mediterranean dish that's an old one that's a pancake that's made with chickpea flour and also fresh chickpeas that you do in a big like iron skillet, and it gets all crispy on the outside, and it's all sort of gets pretty darn fluffy, and that's great with like a sweet tart, sort of onion marmalade, and any kind of the vegetable sauté along with that. But that's an easy dish.
Great, thank you very much.
Absolutely, sure. Thanks for the call, Tony.
You go from the most experienced
to someone that's thinking about it. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I think it's one of the other things I was thinking about with the topic in general is just, what are the reasons that people make the choice? Because there are cultural reasons for some folks, there are religious reasons for some folks, there are health reasons. And then I was thinking, how often is it that in the States anyway, that it's someone growing up and maybe they're hitting their teen years and it's part of their identity that they're going to make different food choices than their family is?
Absolutely. There are a lot of people that make decisions that way, sure.
Yeah, and then you find I don't know. I just think that's kind of an interesting thing, and it's one of those things that if you're cooking for other folks that have strong choices, or if you have, you know, those of your own, communication of those kinds of things is such a big deal. So we have an email question that is a great question. It says, help, I'm running out of ways to cook Swiss chard.
Oh, right?
Recommendation.
Mm.
The great Provençal dish is one of the best ways in the world to use it. I know that you love the dish, the tarte aux blettes.
I do.
Blettes is just French for a Swiss chard. And the whole ball game it's essentially a very thin, it's a thin pastry, almost like a quiche.
Right.
And with a custard as part of the filling.
And a very thin layer of custard.
But the rest of the filling is the chard.
And one of the big things about working with chard is it is dirty, dirty, dirty. You really have to wash chard.
And
it has
all
these, and it has all these like nooks and crannies. So you really need to wash it in a full sink of water and then lift it out, wash out that sink, you know, get the sand out or dirt out, and then start over again. And until that water's clear, your chard is not clean. So, and it's really good for you. So it is a wonderful thing to work with. I think you could also probably make a pretty darn good soup with Swiss chard. I don't know if they've tried that, but it has a beautiful color and flavor and obviously lots of fiber. So when you puree it, you're going to get a pretty nice viscosity in your soup.
There's another dish you see in the south of France in pretty poor regions that almost look like meatballs, and it's chickpea flour, and Swiss chard. And all of those things, they'll grind them so that it almost looks like a force meat, honestly. And a little bit of fresh cheese, like farmer cheese.
That sounds so
good. And olive oil. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I had it where they had little bits of like oil cured olives like studded in there, like you sort of would like raisins and something, you know.
Yeah, I could see pine nuts in there too.
Just a tremendous, tremendous dish. And that's the kind of thing that could be that with a simple rice or with a big vegetable saute, you know.
And you can always
be a great main course.
Oh gosh, you know, I almost said bacon. I'm sorry. Oh my God.
we didn't get to any of the tough questions yet. And we do have a chef's challenge for the end, just to see you throw things at me.
We have a call.
We do? Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's take Suhata in Baltimore. You're on the air, Suhata? Hopefully I'm saying that correctly.
Can you hear me?
Yes,
yes,
ma'am.
How are you?
Yeah, my name, actually, it's Sujata.
Mm. Sujata, okay.
Awesome. I love your restaurants and I love your show.
Thank you.
Great.
Thank you.
I'm calling because I have 3 cups of freshly shelled peas from the farmer's market.
Good for you. That's awesome.
I got them yesterday. I want to use them, but I want to do something out of the ordinary. I don't want to just boil them.
I have one for you. You're going to have to boil them because you have to boil them to cook them. Maybe a little bit of maybe a salad with fresh buffalo milk mozzarella. So have slices of mozzarella on the plate. Quickly blanch the peas, shock them in ice water, and you want to cook them in highly salted water. Shock them in ice water, drain them, and then you can make a dressing with fresh lime juice steeped with saffron. Add a whisk in a little bit of extra virgin olive oil, salt and pepper, and drizzle that over the peas and the mozzarella, and then you could add anything else you wanted to. Maybe you did have some tomatoes, or you will sometime coming up. You could add a little bit of tomato to that, or you could add a fried green tomato to that, which would be fun. But yeah, I would make a salad with them.
And the first thing Great. I always want to show off, the first really nice peas that I get, is to make risotto milanese with peas and saffron. Mm-hmm. Just lots of peas and lots of saffron, and no shortage of cheese and butter and.
Do you know what risotto milanese is?
Yes, I do.
Oh, good. Okay, good. Yeah, because the peas will love the lemon and the cheese and the saffron. So that is that would be delicious together. So good luck.
Okay, I'll take a vote from my family.
Have the risotto, they'll have a bigger nap afterwards, is what I would say.
More filling meal, right? Very, very much so. Have a good day.
Thanks
for the call. So, and yes, quite obviously, you can reach us today live, 410-662-8780, or toll free, 866-661-9309, or email us, foremanwolf@wypr.org. So let me know when you want me to get to the tough questions.
Okay, go for it.
Okay, top five vegetables that you love to eat. You just named a couple of them a few minutes ago.
Yes, vegetables. So
this is meant to be a quick hitter.
Okay, well... I have to say zucchini, peas, and fava beans because mm-hmm. they are absolutely my favorite. And then I really love haricot vert with fish and olives. So haricot vert for sure, or just regular green beans. And I know it's a very simple vegetable, but it's something that you can do so much with when you're cooking. And I love cauliflower. There's no question. Cauliflower and lemon brown butter is one of my favorite things to eat. So, and there's so much you can do with cauliflower too.
And this
How
is
about
the...
you, Tony? What are your five favorite vegetables?
Tomatoes, corn, any kind of pretty greens. I mean, that's the different kinds of kale and frisee and all the when they first come right now. Mm-hmm. That's all remarkable
stuff. The lettuce
stuff,
is coming up now. Is it going to be interesting?
Zucchini
interesting
flowers when they come, which is
gosh,
now.
I love zucchini flowers. Yeah, I'm excited. I think did we get those from market today?
We have many zucchini flowers.
Yes, so exciting.
Many zucchini flowers today.
So what are some of your favorite vegetable dishes to make? Let's say at home, you know.
At home? I mean, I think one of the things that I never end up making enough of are pumpkin dishes, and that's a different time of the year.
Mm-hmm.
But it's something that pumpkin puree for, roasted guinea fowl or something like that. Warm potato salads, you have beautiful potatoes. They're little fantastic fingerlings right now, just boiled in salted water. And crushed when they're cooled down to where there's just a little bit of steam that escapes, and then it's just extra virgin olive oil, very good oil, strong oil, mm-hmm. like Sicilian oil, and a little bit of sea salt, and just fine herbs, just chopped herbs.
It is exciting to see the potatoes come into market. It's just so amazing. Well, and fresh garlic. I look so forward to seeing fresh garlic because its taste is so beautiful.
It's a funny spring. That's going to be trickier with fresh garlic this year.
Mm-hmm. Well, again, I've probably talked about it before, but my peach tree is just full of peaches, whereas last year there were zero peaches on it. So, well, on two of them.
Different winter, different spring.
Exactly. So I'm very excited to see what our stone fruit season is going to be like this year. And that's, it's all the fruit and things for vegetarians. And I love to make a salad with tomatoes and peaches or tomatoes and nectarines. And that can be based around some of our local lettuces or...
I love that people will actually accept that now. It's not hard to figure out. Tomatoes are fruit. It's just a very acidic fruit. We like it because it's fruit.
Yeah, right.
So I guess I can't really say tomatoes three times my favorite vegetable.
Yeah, I was surprised actually when you said that. I'm like, wait a minute, that's a fruit.
That's not really
but it's for vegetarians, so that's what we're talking about. So
the eggplant dishes, I think, it's funny. When I think about building a menu for someone, whether it's a vegetarian menu or a menu with traditional proteins in it, the menu, it's always what is that bigger or more satisfying or sort of punctuating dish in that menu. And eggplant definitely is. It's funny, is not a starchy vegetable that carries a lot of flavor, that requires you to work hard as a cook to do things with it.
Well, it's like a sponge.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
It's amazing how much olive oil you can brush on a sliced open eggplant. It'll just keep taking it on. It really is like a sponge.
But that is, of all the vegetables, I think that and some squashes, like pumpkin, are probably the best ones to build a main course around, as sort of the vessel. I mean, I guess I often think of building a menu in a relatively Italian style. The mm-hmm. idea of antipasti, where you tease someone some kind of a starch dish. So if it's not pasta, and pasta, I don't love to have a mountain of pasta as a main course.
No.
I want something with deeper, more serious flavor. That's why usually those menus, you know, you want something. Maybe it's a great mushroom dish. Maybe it's an eggplant dish. That's...
Well, we can build, you know, again, for vegetarian dishes, you can build in polenta or grits or rice dishes around, you know, for your, you know, if you want to have something substantial for your last course.
Could be that, well, yeah, I guess what I'm saying is my personal preference is having them be rich and awesome, but not completely filling.
Mm-hmm.
I want that as my second something. I want to be teased by other things first, something spicy or something tart, something crunchy, something varied, and then the starch, whether it could be mushrooms, fresh corn polenta with fresh corn off the husk, finished with the corn,
yeah.
And some kind of fantastic mushrooms as a saute, you know, thin little slices of porcinis or even just buttons that you worked really well, and some fresh thyme. That's a fantastic middle dish.
Mm-hmm.
But if you try to eat an entire main course of that's too much for me.
And also you have to think about the way that people cook at home. They're not always having courses. So that's another reason, you know, why I would mention rice is because that way, if you're just having an entree, you know, then you can build around that as well. So it kind of depends on what kind of a menu you're going to do. As you say, if you're going to have an antipasta and then have a starch course and then have a really serious vegetable course.
We're going to take one call and then we're going to go to break in just a few moments. Larry in Baltimore. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi, Larry. How are you?
Good. How you doing?
Good, thank you.
I'm doing greens with onion base to start with, and I'm interested in your opinion on what two or three greens to match up together so it, you know, those greens marry with one another well. You know, two or three different, if you will, pairings.
What do you have? Can you tell me what you have in mind?
Eat? I have horseradish greens in the garden and kale and some dandelion, and I salt those three together. Yeah. Mm-hmm. What kind of spices do you put together with that?
Honestly, the dandelion, I always, when it's nice and not too mature, I always save that for salad. If it is pretty mature, salad with some kind of a warm dressing.
Yeah, that's always
can
fun
be
to
can
do.
Be terrific. And the world thinks of bacon dressings, but honestly, you can saute apples. And get something terrific for that.
I think you could also add, with one of those types of greens, you could add mushrooms to the pan as well and continue with that whole earthy tone. I can't really think of any spices that I would add to something like that.
Horseradish doesn't need it.
Yeah. Those things all have such inherent, beautiful flavor all on their own, and they're strong flavors. And those are also hearty greens. So when you go to saute it, I would just make sure that, you know, while you probably are cooking in corn oil or in neutral oil, you may finish with a little bit of extra virgin, or you might finish with a flavored nut oil, maybe walnut oil, or even add vinegar to the pan at the end. That's probably the direction I would go. You know, add some acid to the dish, maybe add a red wine vinegar or something to deglaze the pan, and then you're bringing up this sort of wonderful further aroma that can stand up to the flavor of the greens. That's great that you have those things to work with.
With the kale, Larry, some kind of a chili oil
that would be fun.
Is a fantastic mm-hmm. thing. You always, a little spice with the kale is really good.
You're eating healthily. Good for you, Larry.
Thanks for the call. So when we come back on Formula Wolf on Food and Wine, we're still taking your calls, 410-662-8780, or toll-free 866-661-9309. Today's topic is vegetarianism.